WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. In the first part of our show, we heard from Randall Terry, founder of the anti-abortion group Operation Rescue. Last week, the group targeted abortion clinics in seven cities. My guest, Diane Strauss, has defended women's clinics against Operation Rescue and other anti-abortion groups. She directs four women's medical centers. Last week, there were Operation Rescue demonstrations at three of those centers, two in Philadelphia and one in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Her own home was picketed by anti-abortion protesters several years ago. Before Operation Rescue came to Philadelphia, Mayor Ed Rendell made it clear he'd get tough with protesters who broke the law. I asked Strauss how Mayor Rendell and the police in Cherry Hill responded to Operation Rescue.
Well, in the past, some of the leaders of the local anti-abortion movement have sent literature around the country saying, come to Philadelphia. It's a great place to blockade. If you get arrested at all, you will be let go. You won't be fined. Nothing will happen to you. And they'd be allowed to sit there for several hours before an arrest took place. With the new administration, Mayor Rendell said that under no circumstances would he tolerate this and that they would be removed immediately. They had fences around the different centers to prevent the blockaders from getting near the doors. They had a lot of volunteers who kept the doors open, who created corridors for patients. So they just were not able to do any of this blockading. In Cherry Hill, the Cherry Hill police removed the blockaders very quickly the last time they had a blockade, which was over 2 years ago. And they don't get the satisfaction of closing a clinic, and then they went to court and they were fined heavily.
What did you do to prepare your clinics for possible actions?
Well, we certainly beefed up our security, and we worked very closely with the police departments in both Philadelphia and in Cherry Hill. And we were not sure what kind of action they might take. This Operation Rescue came out of what we might call a boot camp in Melbourne, Florida. Some of the leaders had spent 3 months down in Florida training, and it's almost as if they were missionaries out of Waco coming to tell us how to interpret the Bible, and we weren't really sure what they were going to do. Their curriculum in Melbourne has to do with a lot of stalking of individual staff members. And we were concerned that this might be a new shift in policy. And certainly after the murder of Dr. Gunn, we feel that doctors are being targeted. And indeed, they did go out to some of the physicians' homes, and they did circulate wanted or not wanted posters with pictures of the physicians on them. So they did do some degree of stalking, and we were real concerned that this might happen and that our homes would not be safe and that our staff members would not feel safe, nor with their families.
Back in 1989, you personally were targeted. Your home was picketed. What exactly happened to you?
Well, the first time I was picketed, my husband and I were out of town, and when we returned home, my 15-year-old daughter was extremely upset and said that the house had been picketed, and she had taken pictures, she had called the police, she had run to a neighbor, she had called her friends, and there were about 35 people all over the lawn banging on the doors and praying and saying, we're praying for your mother because she kills babies and she's a murderer. And my daughter went out and told them, please get off the property, please leave her alone. She said, my mother isn't home. I don't have anything to do with the Women's Center. I'm 15 years old. I live in this house. Please leave me alone. And they did not leave her alone. So she did call the police. One woman took a one-year-old infant and shook it in my daughter's face and said, your mother tried to kill her a year ago, but I didn't have the abortion. And my daughter just said to this woman, I'm glad you made the choice that was right for you. At which point, my neighbors became extremely outraged that this young teenager who has nothing to do with the issue whatsoever was being targeted and clearly was becoming upset by these people. And the neighbors at one point got extremely irate. When they came to her defense, some of the protesters accused them of not being good Christians. I understand that there was almost a fist fight among some of the neighbors who wanted these people out of the neighborhood. Folks who had little children didn't want them to go by and see gory, dismembered fetus pictures. And how do you explain abortion to a three-year-old who lives in the neighborhood? And what are these people doing there with all these signs? And why are they singing? And why is Amber so upset? So it was very disturbing to my daughter. And the neighbors came out in tremendous support for us.
What impact did this have on you?
Well, I was very, very much angered as a parent. I think we all get very protective of our children. And I was outraged that they would take their disagreement with what I do and foist it onto a young child who had nothing to do with the Women's Center. So I was scared for her.
I think for some doctors and medical workers who have been personally targeted by the anti-abortion movement, some of them have become very scared, intimidated by that tactic, and have chosen to stop performing abortions. I think some doctors who might previously have chosen to perform abortions are avoiding it now because they don't want to be harassed. When you were personally targeted, when your home was picketed, did it go through your mind that maybe you should get out of running these clinics that provide abortions just so you could protect yourself and your family?
Well, that has happened to other staff members, and I think the fact that my daughter was old enough to call the police and protect herself kept me from feeling that way. I do know we've had staff members who had young children who were frightened and felt with a three-year-old that they were very vulnerable. What happened to me was exactly the opposite. I became absolutely outraged that in the United States of America, someone should try to terrorize me out of my job. And I thought, well, maybe I'd want to get another job at some point in my life, but I'll be darned if I'm going to do it because these people frighten me and threaten me to make me quit my job.
Were you ever frightened again after that? Were you targeted again after that?
Well, the house had been picketed several times. They came on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and my husband is Jewish, and he was very distressed as they stood out there with big crosses and said, "Turn to Jesus," and sang "Onward, Christian Soldier" on the lawn and banged on the door. And he felt that was truly an invasion of his privacy. It was a Sunday, late morning, early afternoon, and it was very disturbing. I've also had several verbal threats on my own safety, and it's very disturbing. It's disturbing to be at work and the phones ring, and we are forever getting calls that say we're murderers, we're baby killers, we're going to blow you up, you should all die, you deserve to die, you deserve to be thrown into a pit of fire. And this kind of onslaught hits us daily, and it is distressing. And it's more disgusting because we live in the United States and we shouldn't have to be dealing with this. We're not doing anything illegal, and this is an area that people can do other things if they don't agree with us. They don't have to have abortions. They could educate people. They could do more for unwanted children. There are a lot of things they could do besides try to terrorize people providing medical care.
My guest is Diane Strauss, the director of 4 Women's Medical Centers. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. My guest, Diane Strauss, directs 4 women's medical centers which perform abortions. 3 of those centers, 2 in Philadelphia and 1 in New Jersey, were targeted last week by Operation Rescue. Now, in Northeast Philadelphia, where you run a clinic, there was a successful attempt, I believe, to use RICO, the anti-racketeering law, to prevent certain protests trying to close down the clinic. How did that work?
Well, we had to show before the federal judge that there was indeed a conspiracy of a number of groups and that their goal and their stated goal was to close the business of the Northeast Women's Center. And we did show that. They had invaded the clinic. They had injured staff members. They had damaged equipment. They had followed patients home. And they were on videotape saying, "We're going to close you." And under the racketeering statutes, you cannot conspire with groups to do that. And therefore, the judge found in our favor.
And what did that accomplish?
It accomplished an injunction which protects all of us that work there and gives protection to the Northeast Women's Center. And it wound up sending a few people to jail, which we had been not able to do in the criminal courts.
Do you have any friends or colleagues who have given up performing abortions because of fear?
Yes, I do. I know of numerous people who have done that. One was a woman who was a single parent that worked in the center, and the protesters would sometimes show up at her house when her child was coming home from school, and they would call up and say, "We're going to pull your son limb from limb like you do the little fetuses." And because she was a single parent and she couldn't keep an eye on her child, she chose not to work there anymore. And, you know, staff have had their tires slashed. They've had, you know, people follow them, filming them. So for some people, it's a very frightening ordeal to have to put up with this.
What do you tell your colleagues at the centers that you run when that happens?
Well, first, we do as much as we can to protect them. We try to look at all the laws. There are stalking laws now on the books in New Jersey and in Pennsylvania. We look at harassment statutes. And we teach the staff how to document and take care of themselves so that we can go into court and take proper legal action against this type of it's terrorism. And the goal of it is to frighten somebody out of their job. And that is just absolutely despicable in a civilized society.
Now, there was an action in front of your New Jersey clinic. I think this was a couple of it was this past spring, where people basically, where the protesters shackled their necks to cars so that they couldn't be moved. Would you explain what they did?
Yes, it was a very, very cold, snowy day in March, and I think the temperature was about 17 degrees. And one of my staff members looked out the window to see a car up against the door, and when she looked further, there was a car up against our emergency exit door as well. And these were old, dilapidated cars, and she saw legs sticking out from underneath them. And we soon discerned that there were four people who had chained their necks to the underside of the car, and so that we could not remove them. There were a number of picketers out on the sidewalk, and it cost the taxpayers of New Jersey a tremendous amount of money. Not only the taxpayers of Cherry Hill, but we had to call the state police to get the jaws of life to dismantle these cars. We had to have fire engines on hand because one of the people had his neck so close to the gas tank that there was some concern that if they began to saw at the chain around his neck that we could possibly have a fire. And after 4 hours of being out in 17-degree weather, underneath cars, these people did also need some medical attention. So it just shows you that these people are not very rational. That's not a rational action. It didn't stop any abortions that day. We had another door through which all our patients came in.
How responsible did you feel for the health and well-being of the protesters?
Well, I told them that they were on private property, that they weren't welcome, and I really suggested strongly that they get a key and unlock themselves and leave. One of their people from the sidewalk came and talked to them and said it's okay with them if they're cold, they could get up and leave, that the movement would not feel that they were wimping out in any way. So they had every opportunity to get up and leave. I felt absolutely no responsibility for someone that does something like that of their own volition.
I know many abortion clinics find it very, very difficult now to find doctors who are willing to perform abortions, and they're finding it even more difficult to find doctors who they really want to work with who can perform abortions. Are you running into that kind of problem?
Certainly. It's a national problem. We have a center in Omaha, Nebraska, where we fly a doctor in from out of state every weekend to perform abortions. And I know we're not alone in doing that. I'm very fortunate to work with very, very dedicated doctors who really believe in what they're doing. They tend to be older. They tend to have seen what happened when abortion was not legal. And they tend to feel very, very strongly about the service they want to provide to women. And I'm very fortunate to be able to work with these people.
Are you afraid to talk even in a situation like this on a radio show, you know, a national radio show, and you know, speak your views and have your name be known by people? In other words, are you afraid that there will be reprisals against you because you're being outspoken now?
Yes, I am. And I know that my name does come up frequently in rallies, and I'm very concerned about that. You know, I go to work to help provide medical care for women, and we provide a wide range of services. We provide gynecology, birth control, teaching birth control devices. We do more in one day to prevent abortions than Randall Terry and Operation Rescue have done from the beginning of Operation Rescue. So it's very ironic that I should be targeted. But yes, it does give me some concern.
Well, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Thank you.
Diane Strauss directs women's medical centers in Philadelphia, Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and Omaha, Nebraska. This is Fresh Air.